You're listening to the MLS Fantasy Insider, bringing you weekly tips, tricks, and advice for the official MLS fantasy game. Hello and welcome to the MLS Fantasy Insider, our preview of round four of the 2024 MLS fantasy season. This episode is brought to you by Free Kick Handballs, just like in your younger days. No, wait. Actually brought to you by the amazing Patreon supporters of the MLS Fantasy Insider podcast. It's because of you that we are able to keep this project going. Learn more about our Patreon project and how you can help support this podcast over at patreon.com/MLSFI. I'm your host, Reed Connolly from MLSFantasyBoss.com, and tonight I'm joined by two special guests. Ashley is off tonight because she is having to take care of her little one. So we have joining with us again, Christian Ward and Tyler Ranchinator Norman. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. I was expecting Christian to talk first, but I think
you guys are all thrown off.
We're used to Ashley just jumping in like, I don't know, I'm doing good. Trying to
she does that because Blaine, exactly, and Blaine's doing stuff different this year. So yeah, you guys are my partners in fantasy for this week. So happy to have you guys here. You're already my partners in fantasy and everyone else's partners in fantasy from Discord and everything else that happens. So happy to have you guys here. My people are off. For those of you who did ask, because I know I got some messages, had to delay the podcast earlier this week because baby Rue, who I guess should be graduating into toddler Rue at this point, as some have mentioned, was a little under the weather, had some fever, temperature things that weren't really responding well to medicine. So we took him to the doctor to get seen and got that all under control. So he is doing better now. You may hear screams and the sound of buffalo running above me. Don't worry, that is just him, as he is recovered. So thank you to everyone who sent out a message. Sorry for the delay, but it is what it is. But we are here this week on this Wednesday evening to give you some insights into fantasy. And so we'll try to get through it as soon as we can. And so we're going to start very quickly with our round three recap. There we go. Oof. Christian, players who impressed you and general thoughts on round three.
All right, I'll try to get through this giant list I have. Giacomakis impressed the crap out of me. He pulled a hat trick, and I didn't expect that. And he seems pretty legit with a one game sample size. That's what I'm going for. I didn't expect a brace from Pookie either. And that was nice to see. Brace away to Orlando. And Bonji Longwani is back. And he scored a goal in Orlando as well. And I just want to note that Reynoso could make an appearance versus LAFC this weekend. At least the tweet said they were hopeful he would. Ricky Pooj still got 12 points with an abysmal LAFC performance. Painsel got 4 points, so that should tell you how that game went. Anthony and Evander, they pulled a heck of a comeback in New York City at Yankee. There's been talk about them regressing and regressing really soon, so keep an eye out. I don't think they're going to regress this weekend because they're, I think, against who are they against? They're against Houston, who is pretty worn out by the cup, but they're on the road. Yeah. Well, they were on the road last week in a really hostile stadium. Forsberg is becoming essential, I think. He impressed the crap out of me, too. It was like 13 points. I think he had a penalty goal and maybe an assist. But he's a bonus point merchant, so he's going to be nailed on my team for the foreseeable future. And Luca Gavron for Toronto, I thought, did an amazing job in goal. He was spot on. Ranch, you're a goalkeeper as well, so you probably want to chime in on how amazeballs Gavron was.
He was all right.
Okay, all right.
He was good.
I thought he was great. So the two strongest defenses, I think, at this point seem to be Toronto and Sporting Kansas City. The underlying stats don't necessarily indicate that that'll hold up, though. So they're the most legit we've got right now. So, you know, in this clean sheet seeking hunting game meta now, it's important that you actually go to FBref and look at stats and make your decision based on those as well. I was going to mention several chalk players failed this week. Also, that supports the new game meta. Paintsil, Lucho, Cucho, both Uchos failed. Buanga and Gressel, the most notable ones who just completely tanked. And also, another wild card in the mix is CONCACAF Champions Cup. This is the week I think we need to start targeting teams who are in the Champions Cup, because it's been 3 weeks now where these games have been going on midweek, and the teams have actually been holding up okay. But I think that there was some real fatigue last night with Orlando and Philadelphia. And if you target those teams now against them, I think you'll find success. Both of those teams, by the way, got eliminated last night by an aggregate score of 10 to 1, which is just terrible. It was embarrassing.
Orlando
anyway,
scored two.
Huh?
Orlando scored two.
They did? Oh, I wasn't aware of that. I must have turned it off early. Well, I mean, I didn't turn it off early. I turned it off probably 89th minute. They must have scored lately.
They scored at 90 plus one.
Okay, that's why. But anyway, the point is, if you're going to target those guys, do it this week. So I guess to wrap all that, my thoughts up, you know, the game meta is such that we're doing more clean sheet hunting. We're looking for bonus points, which are rare. There's only a handful of players who will consistently get you these bonus points, which is going to make picks more chalky from week to week and finding differentials a little bit harder than they have been in the past. So, one last thing. Revs, they're expected to go through tomorrow. They have an easy matchup in CCC. And it's also expected that Carlos Heel is going to get rested. He might not even travel. So those of you who are looking at targeting Revs, Heel might still be a viable pick for your team this week. He's at home against a tired Cincinnati, I think. So that's pretty much it for me.
Tyler.
Oh, wait. Sorry. I forgot to say, most important thing. I bounced back with 107 points last round. I went from 395th to 29th overall. And all of that despite capping Cucho Hernandez, who got a six. Okay. Oh, go for it. Sorry.
All right. I scored about an average week. I had a 78, and I feel like it's like low average for the week. But the reason I think I scored low is because I was kind of targeting team value for this week. So I gained almost $6 in team value, gained 5.9, and now I'm up to 112.9, which gives me a lot of room for making picks this week if I need to. I might still do a little bit of team value, but it's not going to affect as much for my picks. So I'm sitting right now at overall 278. Going off of Christian's first point, I was also very impressed by Yorgos Giakoumakis, but I knew that he would get his hat trick. I mean, I even mentioned it in the article that he was going to score. So clearly he was going to do well. I still did not pick him, though. I need to start following my own advice. I also would say there's two defenses right now that have been like sneakily good. Like you wouldn't expect them to be good, but they are doing good. The first one being Toronto. Like there are three clean sheets in a row, have not been scored on yet this season. That is really impressive to me. And it really makes you question. They got a clean sheet against, was it on the road to New England? And then they got a clean sheet on the road to NYC, and they got one at home to Charlotte. Those are some, or on the road to Cincy, on the road to the New England, and then at home to Charlotte. Now they have NYC on the road, which is a really hard place to go to and get a clean sheet on the road. But at the same time, if they can do it, I'd say Toronto is almost locked in as a starting defense going forward if they can do that. They look really good. The other sneaky defense, I would say right now, is SKC, because they've been doing some weird things but getting clean sheets. And it's shake, well, I guess they just got their first clean sheet. But it was against LAFC, and it looked shaky initially, and their defense has looked good. Like their game against Philly should have been a clean sheet. They had a bad ref call at the end of the game. But that's two games in a row now that they have looked pretty stout defensively, besides a handball in the box by Melia. And then my last point is a player that I think we need to start looking at more often, because he's been putting up the points, is Edward Louvin. He's been putting in some serious work and getting a decent amount of bonus points and also contributing goals. And I think we need to start looking at him more often in our midfield, because he's normally a name that we kind of glance over right now. Reed.
Thank you. So for me, I finished with, oops, I was just playing around with my team and hit the wrong button. So for me, I finished with 84 points overall, which was enough to win all of my head-to-heads and go up some in the ranks. So mixed bag with that, with the players who I actually brought in. Like I said, I had some changes to my team near the end because I wanted to bring in Arango, and that did not work out for me at all with that. But solid midfield performance and some decent people coming off the bench made a lot of that worth it with 84. Over almost 112 million is my value. I'm 111.8, so that's I think a really respectable value if that's kind of what you're looking at. Ashley's at 113.7, she said to me, so she's killing it as well. But that's definitely a good range for people to be in. As far as some takeaways, as you all saw, it was my anniversary weekend last week, so I didn't watch any of the games because we were out just having dinner and on our date night. So it was not a lot of soccer for me, but I did review the information. And just from just my little scan through everything, I was happy to see that Portland got some goals, a little bit more data there as we're trying to find out, because some of their players aren't producing a lot of bonus points. So I want to see some more of these games to find out who might be more consistent in generating those offensive actions. Tucho also getting a blank, but 6 points with no goals or assists. I think that's really solid for the format that we have right now, with those key passes and those shots really coming through for him there. He was my captain, so I got 12. Definitely not the best captain option that happened, but it was what it was. And then Austin having to rely on defenders to score is not a good shout for their offensive potential right there. So if we're looking for those teams to kind of bet against, that's another one that I know people are already looking at. But just, you see, like, two goals, what happened? Oh, both defenders. Well, not something I'm likely to be looking at often.
Both for them. Center backs, even.
Right, both center backs there. So
with defender assists.
Exactly. No, it was just not a lot coming in general for the offense there, which we expect with some of the injuries. But that was what we talked about a lot last year, was Austin particularly outperforming their curve. With another player, Espinoza, another one that I did not bring in this year, that we had a lot of talk last week about his potential based on his performances last year and how that would carry through into this year. And maybe it's kind of mixed, not I don't want to say not great, because he did put up some good shots with that, but did not get what I think were the results that people wanted to for the price that he's at. So I did not have him in there, but that's what we're still trying to figure out And what Christian will mention sometimes, I know that we're looking at, is what are the players producing with the new meta that we're in. And that's where these bonus points is points are matter. I also want to make the announcement right now. I'll mention it again later. But as we're moving into round four, a lot of people have been focused on building their value. That's something that I've been doing, mixed bag, I think, for what it's done to my overall team value. But that's what I've been doing and what I've been focusing on. For most teams, RSL and Miami excluded, because this already happened. For most of the teams now, we're going to see their first game fall off of their three-game average. So some of those players who may have been doing great for you because they had a fantastic round one, some of those points, I know I'll mention Herbert's coming up in my pick section, had an 11-point game in round one. That's going to be falling off now. So for these players who had that great performance, maybe some mediocre, middling, second and third rounds, keep that in mind if you're paying attention or just pulling in players for the value increases, as you could see those start to slack off now that we have a full three games, because it is based on a weighted 3 to 5, mostly three-ish game average that we will see. So just keep that in mind when you're building your teams, if you're still looking at some of that value gain right there. All right. Well, thanks for that quick recap, guys. Looking over at the chat, had some fantastic scores right there. Eli killing it with 113, second overall. That's a massive score. Gene with 110. That's great. William with 85. Some fantastic scores there. I mean, if you guys are scoring in the 80s, it seems like you probably had a good round this week. Like we did say, a lot of the chalk didn't produce, and some unexpected situations for sure with the results and who put up some of the goals. So it happens. That's part of why we do love this game, and love even more to see you all who join us in chat and who respond on Twitter with the information and your results. So fantastic to see, and glad you're enjoying it, and maybe that you're getting some tips from us as well to help get that success. Great recap. We're going to move right into our housekeeping section for round four coming up right after this. Hello and welcome back to our round four housekeeping. In the interest of time, we're going to skip over the results from our leagues, but a lot of people are still tied. So as the season goes on, we'll get some more names shout out there, but everyone really competitive. Love seeing all that going on. All right, so for round four, everything starts on Saturday, March 16th at 2 o'clock p.m., kicking things off with Chicago versus Montreal and DC United versus Miami. Again, everything else follows the usual Apple TV schedule, and then we have two teams that are playing on Sunday. So if you're looking at setting up any kind of a ruse or just kind of wanting to preview your bench, that's definitely something you can do this round. Nobody's in a double game week, so don't worry about that. And we do have one team on a bye, which is Real Salt Lake. So definitely some scrub options there. Not all the positions, but some scrub options there if you're looking to save a little bit of money and to activate some auto-roos or switcheroos if you want to go. Of course, CONCACAF Champions League is going on. Originally, of course, we would have come to you on Monday, and so we already had four teams that played. So be sure to look at those results with Columbus versus Houston, Philadelphia at Pachuca, and Orlando at Tigres. So keep up with that, who played, any injuries, anything like that. We do have a game going on right now, Miami versus Nashville. I guess I'll go ahead and spoil the update in case you missed it live or have not paid attention to it yet. Messi did sub off shortly into the beginning of the second half. So keep an eye on that. I know that Tyler and Christian will both be doing that with the mega reference. And then, of course, on March 14th, New England is going to be at Alajuelense, and then Cincinnati is going to be at Monterrey. For Cincinnati, obviously a huge game for them after going down 1-0 in Cincinnati. So keep an eye on that lineup and who plays there, because it will absolutely be impacting that. Well, I believe it will absolutely be impacting what we see this weekend for Cincinnati's road game there. So pretty quick right there. We're going to head over now to Tyler or Christian, whichever one of you would like to do this with our injury and suspension updates that we know of right now from the mega reference.
We only have two red cards this week, and actually both happened after the final whistle. Kind of a rarity. But in the Orlando versus Miami, Minnesota game even, there was a big confrontation after the whistle, and two red cards were shown to both Joseph Rosales for Minnesota and then Wilder Cartagena for Orlando. honestly, the one that seems more impactful to me, Christian can correct me on this, but I think Cartagena's is more impactful because Orlando uses him as their like defending mid. Rosales doesn't seem as big of a change. Do you think that's a big
I think
one,
it's
Christian?
significant.
It is significant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we don't, Rosales was never a left back to begin with.
Oh,
He's
okay.
filling in until we can find
So
somebody.
you don't even have a left back right now,
We
then.
don't have a left back.
All right.
It's
So
probably going to be Dotson.
when Fragapane plays left back, we know
No,
which target.
it'll be Dotson. It'll be Dotson. Frangipani is hurt.
Oh. Okay. I guess we're just gonna go down your list then. For injuries, I got a little bit of an update on two players that we mentioned. I think it was last week. Opoku, we heard back that he's going to be out for about 6 to 8 weeks with a lower leg injury. And then Pedro de la Vega got a report. I think it was actually on Monday, so it was, or on Tuesday, so it was right after the podcast. He's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks with a hamstring injury. Both Joao Paulo and Stefan Fry are expected out for one more week. And then other injuries that happened this week, we have Cesar Araujo for Orlando, which is their other holding mid. It got an off-the-ball injury. Connor Ronan for Colorado picked up an off-the-ball injury. And then Obina Nwobodo, I think it was a hamstring tightness or groin or something like that, picked up an injury early on. So those are three, actually, all three of those are kind of holding mid 6-8 pivots to maybe start looking at teams playing those because that's an essential role for any team. So. Especially Orlando now. Oh man, maybe I do need to change my captain. Orlando's gonna be out with
All
Cartagena and Araujo. It's a rough one.
right. Thank you so much, guys, for that preview. Again, all of this information is collected over at the Mega Reference, which is curated over at the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord channel over in our Fantasy Tools section. Lots of other information there. Definitely recommend anyone listening goes and check that out. And the best part about it is it's free. You can join our Discord server absolutely free to be a part of the best MLS fantasy community there is. Online or anywhere else out there. And you can get there easily heading over to mlsfantasyboss.com/discord. You can join through the link right there and just enjoy that community and having fun and get to chat with some of the best players in the game, including people who have won everything overall and who are frequent top performers in the leagues that we host. So it's a great resource, very friendly. We're very proud that it's very friendly. And a lot of that is thanks to the work of people like Christian and Tyler. But I know that why you are here is to hear some information about player targets for round four, and we are going to bring that to you right after this. Hello and welcome back. We're talking about our target players going into round four, starting out as always with keepers and defenders. Tyler, who are you looking at?
Yeah, so this is gonna see sound really counterintuitive of me. Especially because of some comments I made earlier in the Discord this week.
Well, I am just interested now.
I have Andrew Thomas as the front end of my keeperoo, and I made plenty of comments early that Seattle is not the team to play defense of because they're going to get scored on this week. And I still firmly believe that. I think that they will get scored on because Colorado has yet to be shut out yet. And Seattle's technically only played two games and they've looked shaky in each one of them. But I still have Andrew Thomas as the front end of my keeperoo, and I am actually doing a keeperoo where I put Tim Melia on the other side because, as I mentioned earlier, I really like SKC's defense. And then I am someone who always loves to pair my defenders. So I have Alex
Agree.
Jordan on the bench with Thomas. And then I have, oh wait, I have Alex Jordan starting. And then I have Jake Davis to pair with Tim Melia. And I have Brooks Lennon because I like that matchup against Orlando. I am just doing the three with an Otteroo. I am not doing any more than three. I might switch which three they are, but I am going to keep only three.
Christian.
So, ditto. I have Thomas on the bench. I'm not doing a Keeperoo. I think at this point, it's kind of pointless to do a Keeperoo unless, I mean, goalkeepers don't really score a lot of points. I mean, it's either a clean sheet, it's either a seven or a two. So, you know, I'm fine. I'll take a two. Same defenders as Tyler, Roldan, Davis, Lennon. However, Erigoni for Chicago is $4 million. So why not stick him on the bench? You're not going to lose any money. It's risk-free. And you never know, you know. Chicago might shut him out. So, or he might get an assist or something. Erigoni is, I think he's a left or a right back. He's a fullback, so he's going to get forward. He's probably going to cross a few balls in the box. So it's pretty decent play for $4 million on your bench.
What do you? Yeah, read? I love that shout out. I love that shout out right there. Yeah, I definitely love the thought process that you guys have. I went through and just try to find some other players. I think just worth to throw out to see what other people may be thinking. As far as keepers, I agree with Thomas though. Cheap keeper for Seattle versus Colorado. Colorado has been not scoring well, and so I'm willing to take that risk for that game. I am not looking at a keeper route either, just because I think that you're getting more bang for your buck by putting that into your field for those players. So I'm not necessarily interested in it. However, if some money frees up, I'm not against it. I do like that Malia shout out, because I also don't rate San Jose very high. They have been getting some shots off, but they've not been very effective when they've had those opportunities. So I do like that Malia shout out as a potential keeperoo if that's where you want to go. Moving on to defense, I'm just clean sheet hunting. So I was trying to fit a budget as well, because I did my defense last. And so I was just like, okay, who's a potential player I can get? We'll see right there. And so I looked over at Dallas versus Vancouver at home. Not sure how I stand on Vancouver's offensive potential, and so might be willing to take a risk there with Junkwa. $5 million, pretty cheap, been playing. I was looking at an Atlanta as an option again with against Orlando. I liked that potential there. Lennon was just too much for the budget, and so I was looking for just a cheap option into the Atlanta defense, looking at Derek Williams. And then I wanted to go all in with potentially getting some good points from Seattle. And so I've just got Arriaga and Nuhu on the bench there just to line up three players from Seattle to see if I do get something lucky and end up with 15 clean sheet points coming through there against Colorado. May not stay with that, but that's what I'm looking at right now. Other players that I just looked at or I've seen other people talking about, Nick Lima, I've seen in some lineups, super cheap. I can see why he's in there. Home to Cincinnati. We've mentioned how Cincinnati is going to be that huge game in CCL. So I expect rotation. They've had some struggles with getting goals up this season already. But New England has hemorrhaged goals. And so that does make me worried that if something is able to happen, that Cincinnati might be able to get something through. And then that ruins just the clean sheet hunting that I'm trying to go for. Now, maybe it happens both ways, and Nick Lima has an excellent chance for some service as well. But another cheap player, you can take that if you're considering that. Chicago, I love your point, Christian, about the 4.0, because, yeah, you're not going to lose anything. So there's no risk with that one. So absolutely, if you've got the money, put it down there and let it ride if you're going to scrub someone in your field. If you're not, I do worry about the Chicago clean sheet chance. Montreal's got Joseph Martinez, who's been coming in as a super sub and being effective as a super sub with the goal.
Three on Miami too,
and they dropped three on Miami. So it's uh it's something I would be concerned because I don't rate Chicago's defense super high. Still a little out to it, but I love the 4.0 shout. There is no risk. That's just my thoughts on Chicago broader. Sporting Kansas City defense. I like the options for a lot of the reasons you were already talking about. I just find them a bit expensive for that price point.
Cheap. He's a 5'7".
I mean, depending on where you're dropping your money, that's not bad. But a lot of them, I think, are a little bit. They're above
a lot of
six.
Them are more than that. Yeah,
exactly. I can't talk. I mean, Williams, I'm looking at 5'2 for Williams, and Arig was my highest at 5'9. So it could easily make a swap there. But
I would like to point out some fact that I just saw, I think it was yesterday. Jeremy Obobese, the main striker for San Jose, has 0 shots through 3 games. Not even like an attempted shot in 3 games. That's shocking.
Absolutely. You make a point in the chat, Tyler, that you're the only Seattle guy on the show and you're the only one hesitant about the defense. I mean, I think for all of us who are looking at Seattle, it's more betting against Colorado.
I wouldn't bet against Colorado either.
And that's fine. That's what people are looking at. And maybe going 3 deep is too deep with some of the other options that people have. But no, we will call that out, that the Seattle guy is hesitant about Seattle. So we will let that live where it needs to live in people's minds. I've seen some New York City.
The other Seattle guy has a triple stack on his bench. Seattle defense.
Who's the other Seattle guy?
Isaac.
His triple stack. Yeah. He'll change that in time.
I've seen some New York City FC defense as well. They're going up against Toronto, but New York City FC has been leaky. So it is at home at Yankee Stadium. So that's always an advantage for them. Maybe just, I think the other players we've mentioned to me had better chances. And so I'm not high on New York City there. And then Toronto defense though, maybe for like you're saying, Tyler, some cheaper options, some good clean, only teams with 3 clean sheets likely still see some price rises out of that for some of their players. So more likely a bench play for me since they are a road team. So we can see what happens, but not a bad shout out. But for me, it is still budget clean sheet hunting when it comes to defense right now, because I'm going to put so much more of that money into my offense. So,
yeah. And to go back to your point earlier, Milanda is losing like his 16 point game or whatever.
Yep.
I would be very, very hesitant to go him for a price rise because he might not even rise.
Yeah, no, that's the same thing. I rode that ship for the last 3 games because of that, and I don't plan on having any of those Charlotte players this week. Yep. So
I just wanted to point that out for people that are listening.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was, if you just joined us for this third segment, that was a point we made earlier, was that for all these, most of these teams now, their first game will be dropping off, and so that's going to factor into their average. And so who you've been riding for price rise is likely going to change now. So pay more attention to these last couple of games when you're looking for that data. All right. Well, since we're talking about offense so much, let's move into these offensive players for the midfield picks. Christian, who are you looking at?
This is probably going to be super chalky, but Emil Forsberg, Ricky Pooge, Carlos Heel, and Thiago Almada are my four main, my core midfield. And because I upgraded forwards, I took Diego Gomez on the bench. And I know that he's on a price fall. He's on Miami away to DC. And DC has been better than they have in the past on defense. Diego Gomez might play more central midfield because I think Taylor has pretty much taken over that left wing spot if he plays at all. So I might be in search of a 6.0 or cheaper mid. And man, I spent like an hour looking for one that I liked and I couldn't find one. So hi, Diego. Welcome to my team, my bench. So that's what I got.
Makes sense. Tyler, who do you have?
Okay, sorry. The I actually feel like, I mean, there's three like go-to picks this week, which I feel are Pooch, Heal, and Almada. If you don't have those three, I think you need to try to rearrange your team to get those three. All three of them have been absolutely insane bonus point producers, and they all have pretty good matchups this week. I was initially on Luchill, but then after realizing they don't play their CCC game until tomorrow, and it's in Mexico, I was like, ooh, based on that travel, I need to really see what that lineup looks like. If he plays, I'd say even over half the game, I'm probably fading Luchill. Because he already looked like he had tired legs in this last game. And I captained him, unfortunately. Captained him for a solid 4 points being doubled. So instead of him, I'm thinking of taking my own advice and going towards Luvin, because I've been keeping an eye on him quite a bit, and I think Luvin has a very good chance to perform well. My quote-unquote cheap pick right now is Schwanier. And I feel like Christian will laugh at that after our conversation in draft earlier. but he's 6.1. I think he's on a price rise based on his last game. And it's a pretty cheap pick that can help stabilize your budget considering all the other picks. I also do want to shout out, I think Reed was going to anyways, I do really want to shout out the Johnny Russell pick in chat. He was initially, like, honestly, the chat for my differentials that we were talking about, he was the first name that got brought up. We're like, oh, let's do, like, Russell. I think that would be a great differential. And it looks like he's starting to become fallback chalk. So we might need to re-look into that. But I do really like Russell this week. And he's at a solid 7.5.
Yes, I did have him on my list to mention. I agree with a lot of what you all were saying. Yeah, Almada, Frostburg, Pooch. I have Heal on my team. I know we had mentioned how they're likely going to let him rest for the CCL. I do like Heal there, and anticipating what Cincinnati might have out there with it being a rotation, I can see Heal doing well in that game. So I do have him right now as well. And then Russell. Yeah, I liked Russell, particularly looking through and seeing the underlying stats that we have as we've been talking about sort of the shift with what people are producing. He got a 6 in his last two games that included one clean sheet last week, but he had 8 key passes in each of those last two games, and he had 4 shots in each of those last two games, all of which were producing bonus points right there. So for someone not getting a goal or an assist, 6-7 is kind of where I think is a fair floor to look for. 7.5 million, I think that's a pretty good return for that investment as well. And going against San Jose, who I not rank very high, I think if he can continue that type of bonus point production, he has a good shot of actually getting some goals or assists on there to get up his score. So I find him very easy to bring into your team. So I did like him and have him right now. Again, just some other players. I agree with Acosta. It's that CCL game is going to be huge. Keep an eye on what happens there, but I do very much worry about that. Levin, again, key pass numbers are there. Shots for the first game were kind of low, but LA does allow shots, and he had that fantastic game last week. He had a great season last year, so we know he has the potential for that. And so if those bonus point numbers continue, I do like that as a pick right there. Herbers was a guy who I mentioned earlier in the show. Cheap going up against Montreal. He does have some good bonus point numbers you can look at, but that 11-point game is about to fall off. So he's one of those players, I'm telling you, that if he's not putting up an 11 in this next game, there's a high chance of a price fall for him. So just be aware of players like that. But he is cheap, can't fit a budget. Looking
he did
at some
score
of the
last week.
He did score. But that 11's fallen off, so
sure, but he got a 7 last week. That so helps. It might not it be that big a risk.
Exactly. It helps. He may only go up a couple or maybe only down a couple. We'll see.
Or at least he wouldn't lose.
Or stay the same. But that's just, he's one of those players. He is cheap, but keep an eye on some of those things. Going over to Portland, Evander is back, and he came back with a goal. But again, as we mentioned, with about a lot of Portland players in round one, no underlying stats, no bonus point numbers there. So if those players aren't producing, you're going to be in trouble with some of that production and some of that value. They are going up against Houston, so I think they do have a good shot at some more production. So it is nice to see him getting a goal and maybe getting into some form that might be profitable going down the road. And then again, when I was first looking at Sporting Kansas City players, I also looked at Tommy, and then I looked at the stats with Russell, and the key passes and the shots are just there for Russell, and he's cheaper. And so I think Tommy got more points last week. And so if you're kind of sorting through some of that, you may see him pop up first, but I just think the underlying numbers are so much better for Russell. Honorable mention also to Santi Rodriguez over with New York going up against Toronto. If you're going to go with some differential player, I think that might be one that you go with. Toronto hasn't scored, but he's, I think, got a good shot based on his performance last week and that field that they have. So that's what I've a player I've seen in a few teams that I don't hate. Probably would be a bench play for me, though, if that's what you're going to do. If you want to do that, do you want to have a midfielder on the bench with sort of this new system that we have, benefiting those key passes and shooting and set piece taking players? Checking chat real quick. Yep, Santi, seeing him mentioned there, Gomez. Yep, a lot of players here. I think we've covered a good little bit there. Let's move on now to our forwards. Who are you looking at, Tyler?
Forwards. Mine's a little different from you guys, I noticed. For a big name there. I am obviously going Cucho. I feel like he's a set and forget every week right now. Although I am a little bit worried about it being against the Red Bulls, because Red Bulls are really good about shutting down the playmaker. So I'm worried that he won't score a lot, but I'm taking him anyways. Giakoumakis, I think, is a definite grab. I know he scored a hat-trick last week, and as Ashley would say, a player who scores a hat-trick in 1 week will not do well the next week. Well, we looked at the stats. We looked at the stats for Atlanta players specifically, and Joseph Martinez has scored 6 hat-tricks for Atlanta, and in the next game, he scored at least one goal in 5 of those 6. Almiron scored in his next game. And then I think the only two that did not score in their next game were Parada and, oh, I can't even think of the other name. Some name that was I don't think anybody would remember. So maybe Giakoumakis can keep up the trend of their good players, especially good forwards, scoring in their follow-up game. And I think with an Orlando team that doesn't have their dual pivot, it will
they're
happen.
They're gutless.
Right. And then my last forward, I feel like once I grab him, he's not going to score. But I am grabbing, at the moment, Dejan Jovetic, and I'm really nervous about it because he's so volatile, but at the same time, he has so much strength around him, and he's scored in 3 straight games. And I've always said, you got to pick up a player when he's hot, and Jovetic is hot right now. So I think I'm going to grab him, probably throw him on the bench just in case, but I think you need to roll with him this week.
I agree with all of that. I currently have Giakoumakis and Cucho. Quick note about Cucho. Columbus seems to be the Red Bulls bogey team in Columbus. They've scored multiple goals on Red Bulls more often than not. I know the sample size isn't that great, but just keep in mind, we had that revelation last year when we were talking about taking Cucho against the Red Bulls, and we were pleasantly surprised when he scored a couple goals. So that Red Bulls shutting down the playmakers thing still applies, but not to Columbus. In Columbus, I have a feeling it's going to be just the same. Another guy I was considering was Jovalich, just like Tyler. I think he's, like you said, he's the hot hand you got to go with. He's a little expensive for me, although Cucho is as well. So if you wanted to save some dough, go with Jesus Ferreira. He's a great option this week. And, you know, he scored last week. Came, you know, like he didn't. I mean, Dallas is so weird. I mean, like, but they're, what are they? They're at home, right? They're at home against
Vancouver.
They're at home against Vancouver. Ferreira is going to be chalk on a lot of people's teams, I'm sure. Just for, what is he, 8-2? And he's going to be playing more of a 10 role with Petar Musa up top. So that's where we always wanted to see Jesus in fantasy, and now we get our wish. So, and finally, I think you're kind of silly not to have Messi in your team if he starts. I'm not sure I'm willing to cap him, but given Atlanta's opponent, Orlando, is just, for reasons we just talked about, it should just be like a slam dunk. But I don't know. Messi, I'll have to think about it. Messi's definitely going to be on my team if he's in the starting lineup, and we're going to find that out early. He's in one of the first games at 1 p.m. Central. So I know he's expensive, but, you know, worth every penny, in my opinion. That's who I've got.
Yeah, similar players for me, Giacomakis. I also have Jovalich as well. Tyler, I was looking at the same thing you were saying. I just saw some of that consistency. Again, San Jose's been giving up goals, so I like his options right there. And I agree with you, Christian, as well. Messi's in my team because if we had that injury concern that's going on right now, but he plays early in the round, so in that first match. So if he's in the starting lineup, I want him. We saw what he was able to do previous seasons and in previous games with limited minutes. And so it's what I think you have to make room for. Plus, having him in your team now, you see that player, if he doesn't start, you take him out, free him up, move to Jesus Ferreira, and you free up a lot of money to shift around for maybe some of the other places. Like for me, maybe I flush out my defense. We'll see what happens there with that money. But yeah, I agree. He's right there. But those aren't the only players to consider. Yeah, you already mentioned Dallas. I know Duncan McGuire got some points recently, was EPL target right there. On the road against Atlanta, not sure how that's going to necessarily work out, but he's on some form right now. Pukki mentioned his production at the top of the show. He's had limited minutes, and this is LAFC on the road, so up there with you, maybe you can conjure up some snow. That seems to be something LAFC does not like.
Praying really so hard.
So, but great to see some production from him as well.
Can I chime in about Pukki for a sec?
You sure can.
Interesting. Pukki is the second leading goal scorer behind Cucho in MLS since they came in the league. Since he came in the league.
That's,
just saying.
That's a great stat. I did not know that. Again, going back to Portland that I mentioned, Anthony got a brace, I think, this last round, and he's going to play a Houston team that is going to be playing Columbus in CCL. So see what happens with Houston. Again, Anthony not getting some of those underlying stats, but if he's on the good run of form, could be a great target and some good options there at forward. Have to mention Bowanga, of course. I mean, he's going up to play against you all. Maybe you get some snow. You guys have given up some goals, though, so Bowanga's been shooting, has a good opportunity there. And then think did you mention? I thought one of you guys mentioned this as well. Matias Cotario is over with Montreal. Limited minutes, but he's had some good numbers there.
Kokoro.
Yeah, Kokoro.
Matias Kokoro?
Yeah, well, you all know what you come in for. You guys are Matias on the podcast.
Kokoro. Yeah, yeah.
Nope, you all know what it is.
I think he put a T in there somewhere.
That doesn't matter. It does not matter what is going on with that. Guys got me off my groove with
just edit that out.
No, I'll leave that in there. That's what people come for. But forward, Montreal going against Chicago, which again, I'm not high on Chicago's defense. If you look at some of his numbers, he's got a goal and assist in his last two games. Okay, key pass numbers. Game one and game three, though, three shots in first game, four shots in the third game. So definitely has the potential to put balls at goal. So good chances there. So, but again, I do worry about his minutes. Absolutely a bench play. Maybe not even in your top three or most people's top three or four, but I do want to cover some of these other players that might be out there, maybe possible differential picks, as we have seen Chalk not play out as well. So who knows? Maybe someone like this or other players who we not have mentioned will be in one of the upcoming differential articles that you will see sometime at MLSFantasyBoss.com. But I will not spoil any of that for Tyler and his team right there. So let's move on to wrap everything up with all these players in mind. Who are you all looking at as your captain, Tyler?
So this is why I said I might need to change. I have my armband on Pooch right now, but I might switch it over to Almada now, knowing that Orlando is missing too. I'm leaning towards Pooch, though.
Okay, Christian.
Almada.
I agree. I am leaning toward Almada. I like that matchup against Orlando. I like the production that he had last week, and I know even though that Gigi came away with the big points last week, I am still just so hesitant to captain a forward. And I think that Almada, with his attacking nature, is easily right there as someone who could have a big breakout game as well. So I like midfielders, and Almada is my guy this round. Quick checking over. Eli looking at possibly Messi. I get it. If he's starting, could absolutely see someone going with that. He's had some great production. I guess we have to also mention Suarez. We didn't mention him during the forwards. People always get mad when we don't mention Suarez, but sure. If Messi's not starting and Suarez is starting, maybe he's an option. Maybe you put him in as captain too. I don't know. We'll throw him out there. Not high on my list. I like some of the other guys, but he has had returns, and maybe that is my fault and I should look into it more. So I will at least give it a shout out so you can consider it. You guys have a thought on that? Suarez?
Suarez, that guy is bound to tear his, shred his calves at some point. Are they playing on turf? No, DC is not turf. DC is grass.
Patrick has some interesting news.
Yeah, but it's the same thing, though, with the rotation concerns with Miami. So just keep an eye on that.
I think, definitely keep an eye.
Well, Patrick says that Almada was playing deep and only cap-worthy if he moves back up. True. Very true. If our attacking midfielders aren't attacking, do not want them. Any Benteke love? Tyler.
Benteke.
He's out.
No, he's actually supposedly back. He's been training, although they said that last week. Apparently, I don't even know how to say the coach's name, and that's a rarity for me. Lessens. Yeah, no, that's a very rarity for me. he had said that the reason Benteke was out last week was just as a precaution, but he technically was ready. So I think Benteke could be, a draft play, but not a FMLS play. There's too many good forwards this week to grab Benteke, in my opinion.
And I agree with what Eli mentioned in chat. I think if I didn't go with Almada, that, Heal would likely be my number two for a captain with that potential, especially seeing what happens with CCL. So don't know number three. Three's up for grabs. I might go with a forward if I was getting down to a number three. Maybe. We'll see. But I think, Almada and Heal would probably be my number one and number two with that. Look forward to seeing how people respond to the round four Discord poll this week, though, and we will post that on MLSFantasyBoss.com, and you can see how the MLS fantasy community stacks up against the rankings of other websites and what our players are looking at. So Please be sure to participate in that. I don't look at who votes what way, neither does Christian. So we just post the results and let it be as it be. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us tonight. Again, sorry for the later than usual podcast. We should be back on Monday next week. Baby Roo feeling well, all things good. That is the plan. But we did want to get this information out there to help you prepare for the upcoming round four, because it should be a lot of fun and very likely to have a lot of Because MLS this week. So I forgot to do the plugs, Christian.
I'm off my game.
No, I'll edit this. I won't edit it. I'll just be like, as always, I forgot to do the plugs, Christian.
The MLS Fantasy Boss Discord. Shout out. Great community. If you're not there, you're square.
Yep. I got to give another shout out to Brandon and Matt for helping out with the differentials article. It's taken a lot of stress away, and it's I think it's actually more fun now. Like, it's a reinvigoration of season one, where I'm having a lot of fun doing it now that I have other people. Also, side note, I've been posting the theme team. I've kind of changed it to the third grade team. I've been having my class do a team on Friday, and I posted in theme team. So if you ever want to check out how the third graders are doing, I'm posting it there.
That's a lot of fun. All right. Well, for me, of course, MLSFantasyBoss.com, MLS Fantasy Boss Discord, the best places to go to just participate in our community. Super, super fun. So be sure to check that out. And for real this time, as always, good luck.